What's up, everyone? No Ceilings Crew here at Summer League. Apologies if the setup's a little janky, audio, background music. We're making it work. I'm Tyler Metcalf, Corey Talba, Nathan Grubel, Nick Agar Johnson. Those are skipping plus and threes because we don't know how much time we have left with the audio and how it is. Let's start out main event right away. Cooper Flagg, Bronny James, Mavs versus Lakers. Cooper, obviously, the scoring issues, the shooting inconsistencies. But I thought he did a lot of the little things correct. You saw that overall impact he had. Corey, what were your kind of thoughts on Cooper's Summer League debut?
I actually thought he was really good. I didn't even realize that people were freaking out on the internet because I was just enjoying the game. And I thought Cooper, while he, I guess, didn't shoot well, and I knew his shooting percentages weren't great, I was under the impression that he was having a good game because, like you said, he does a lot of the little things. He plays defense. He had that big block at the end of the game. Yeah. That was really clutch. And then the assist to Ryan Nemhard, who hit the go-ahead shot. I thought his passing was really great. And I kind of liked him being aggressive because I think the thing that people question with Cooper is, like, they don't see the self-creation. They don't see the scoring potential in him. I know, you know, he does get compared to Tatum a little bit, but, like, I think people think he's a tier down as far as offensive potential goes. And this is a kid who, as a reclass freshman, scored almost 20 points per game during that season. So I think that potential is there. And I like him kind of gunning because even when he's hunting his shot, it doesn't necessarily feel like it was out of the flow of the offense. So people are going to overreact to Summer League. I thought he played well. He didn't play exceptional because a lot of those shots didn't go in. He was 5 for 21, I believe.
Yeah.
But he did do the little things.
Nick, what about you in that game, whether it's Cooper specifically or anyone else, who kind of, or what stood out to you in that game?
So I was admittedly in the other gym for most of that game, but I did see Cooper early, which was, I think, the best time to see Cooper. I mean, he had literally the majority of his points in that first quarter. So, you know, in that moment, he looked like we expected Cooper to look. You know, he looked like he was managing the defense. He looked like he, you know, sort of had a bit of a struggle putting the ball in the basket. But, I mean, everything else with him was working out as everybody I think would have anticipated.
Nathan, Ryan Nemhard, big standout, really fun game. What did you see from him, Bronny James? Anything change in his game or Cooper? And if you want to jump back to him, what kind of pop with any of those guys?
I mean, in terms of Bronny, we didn't necessarily see a ton of aggressiveness from him. We certainly saw a little bit more of that on the defensive side of the ball, especially when he got some opportunities to pick up Cooper. I think that was definitely a funny moment during the game when he had that foul call. He didn't necessarily think it was a foul, but he turned to the ref and he gave that LeBron James face. I don't know if this was a foul, man, but definitely like what we saw from him on the defensive side. Ryan Nemhard, I mean, listen, a lot of people called him a sleeper coming into the draft, and he controlled the game start to finish for that Dallas Mavericks team. I think when they were able to bring him in as an undrafted free agent after the draft, first thing I tweeted out was, I think he has a real chance to take one of those point guard jobs right away for a Dallas team that's going to need some guards to step up while Kyrie Irving's out. And he showed a lot of why that's the case. It wasn't just the passing and the facilitating we knew we could get from him, but really the scoring punch that he provided in that game against the Lakers was definitely something. Whether it was scoring at the rim, pulling up from the mid-range, and it's clearly like Ryan has that full kind of package as a point guard, and I really thought that he stood out in a big way. And I'm excited to see what he can do against San Antonio and some of their backcourt matchups in a veteran side on the Spurs, but I really want to see what he can do for the Mavericks moving forward. And Cooper, I mean, you guys said it well for Cooper Flagg. I mean, how he controls the game in terms of just how comfortable he was after that initial timeout. Coach gave him a few seconds to sit out, get some of those nervous jitters out, but once he came back in, he had that scoring stretch that Nick talked about, the turnaround shot, the defense that turned into offense. And I think his ability to really handle the game from a playmaking standpoint was what stood out to me, and it's something, you know, like I said, Ryan Nemhard's going to get a shot at the guard job, but point Cooper Flagg is definitely coming to Dallas, I think, earlier than many might expect, and I was glad to see a lot of that come through the game yesterday.
Now, going into day one, the other marquee matchup was Spurs 76ers, but we didn't get any of Dylan Harper or VJ Edgecombe because injuries are running rampant, apparently, everywhere. Hopefully we get Dylan versus Cooper today. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But in that Spurs-Sixers game, Nathan, you're a Sixers fan, Carter Grimes' defense really popped, but was there anything else in that game? I know the Spurs kind of pulled away and it was kind of gross for a lot of it, but was there anything in that game specifically for you that stood out or kind of got you excited?
I mean, Carter Bryant was the obvious standout. I mean, there wasn't really too much going on in the 76ers side. I think Jhené Brown was a great pickup in the second round for the 76ers. He showed a lot of why in the Utah Summer League, and he had a few moments in that first game against San Antonio as well. But listen, Carter Bryant, some people are going to overreact, I think, to an extent, because you heard some of the buzz before the draft. He, you know, he averaged like, you know, 5-6 points a game in college, didn't really get a lot of shots up, was a low-volume offensive player. And yeah, he was 1 of 6 in that first game against the 76ers, but the defense, Metcalf, the defense is just so freaking important. Like, some of the stuff he was doing in that game, and again, it's whether it's not just specifically on the ball with one person, but it's how he navigates the floor, can bounce around to multiple guys, get his hands on the ball in the perimeter, help block shots from the weak side around the basket. Everything he can do defensively. He was probably one of like the 3 to 4 guys before the draft where I'm like, if he comes into your franchise from day one, he's going to actually help lift up your perimeter defense and really make a difference. And it's unfair when you think about him, Stephon Castle, Victor Wembanyama, all on the same team. They're going to give some people fits in that Western Conference from day one. So Carter, listen, didn't shoot the ball well, but I think we're going to see a little more offensive pop in day three and moving forward here. But yeah, the defense, 100%, that's something that I think a lot of San Antonio Spurs fans should be excited.
The other big time matchup in day one, I felt, was in terms of names and prospects, was the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Brooklyn Nets. On OKC, we had A.J. Mitchell coming back, looked dominant, looked way too good to be here. Nikola Topic, a lot of fun, chaos, both good and bad. Brooks Barnheiser action, and then on the Brooklyn Nets side, we obviously have Danny Wolfe, Yegor Yeoman. Apparently, we've been pronouncing it wrong all this time. Thanks, Yegor. Ben Seraf, Nolan Traore. Corey, for that game, who caught your eye, either good or bad?
I think all the Brooklyn Nets guys caught my both good and bad. I think all of the good that you were sold on for all of those guys, outside of Drake Powell, obviously, who didn't play.
Yeah.
You saw the flashes of why it was good. Yegor made some really slick passes, you know, those weak side hits he's accustomed to. He knocked down a couple of threes, and I think the shot looks good, but he still had trouble when guys got into his shirt, couldn't really create separation without a screen. So he obviously needs to continue to get stronger and tighten that handle up a little bit. Danny Wolfe, he had this sick possession where he brought the ball up early on and, like, ran a ball screen and then moved off the ball. Like, he was able to flow right into then where he was the screener and then got into the short roll and made, like, a drop-off pass. And you were like, oh, my God, that's amazing. But then, you know, his scoring was also a little inconsistent.
Yeah.
Nolan Traore, I thought when he was off the ball and they were running him off of curls or, you know, when guys were getting into the paint and kicking out to him where he can then like attack out of the slot, I thought he was really, really, really good. But anytime he brought the ball off the floor, I was like, it looks like it's the first time he's ever played point guard, which is not great for a point guard, right? Especially one who coming into the year with top five height, we were all like, oh, he's this nuanced ball screen operator. You know, so I saw a lot of good, a lot of bad. Topic, same thing. I thought you saw the really impressive flashes. He had like a couple of really sick, like left-handed live dribble, like hook skip passes. One of them I think went into the stands, but a couple of the others were right on the money and you were like, oh my God, it's amazing. He was really good around the rim. His shot even looked okay. But when you're thinking big picture, you go, all right, he is operating a lot on the ball in summer league, which is great because he should be. He's the best ball handler between him and AJ. Those two guys, they should be doing a lot of that. How is that going to flow in the regular season if he ends up getting any minutes, which this will be his rookie year, so it'll be up and down
right
as far as that goes. But AJ, he obviously looks incredible. Brooks Barnheiser, I think, can bring a lot to the table. He looks so strong.
17
like, in person. Yeah, he's a beast defensively. Chip England got a lot of work. You're going to earn that paycheck, Chip. Kudos to you, man. You got a lot of work with Brooks but there's something there. You know, I don't think it's coming this year. I don't think it's coming next year. But if he could just become a...
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Like a league average three-point shooter where guys have to at least respect him on the catch.
Yeah.
then I think he's going to be somebody who hangs around the league for a long time. If that shot doesn't come around, he's going to dominate the G. And, you know, the blue are going to get a good shot.
Yeah, now on the day, you know, he finished 0-5-3, 2-11 from the floor overall. But then you look at the 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 7 steals. It's all that little, those little things where it's like, oh, man, if you could shoot. Nick, you were the only one who was able to make it over to the other gym for Magic Kings. Maxi Grenot, Nate Clifford, Jace Richardson. What were your takeaways from both sides of those of that game?
Yeah, so on the Kings side, it was really a tale of two halves in multiple ways. And the first half, Maxi Grenot, I mean, he was not quite as impressive as Joan Berenger, but he was the second most impressive player that I saw on day one. I mean, just early on, he had a couple possessions attacking the rim. He had a fast break dunk, and then immediately the next possession, you know, fought his way into a triple. He looked really smooth with the ball in his hands, which, you know, that was one of the benefits of him as a, not quite Danny Wolf level, but, you know, a 7-footer who actually can attack off the dribble. That was evident in the first half. And just defensively, I mean, he was communicating in a way that you might expect to see in an NBA game, but Summer League usually does not have the kind of active communication most of the time that Maxi Grenot was displaying. The second half, he was a lot slower, but the flip side of that is Nate Clifford, who looked really tentative offensively in the first half, he was fantastic on defense, as pretty much the entire Kings roster was, honestly. But the second half, he got a few free throws early, then drilled a contested three, and after that, he was off the races, and he had 17 points in that second half. He looked really impressive, and, you know, the entire game, I mean, he started out guarding Tristan Silva, who has, I think, 4 inches on him, at least. you know, if we're going by listed height, I believe it's 4 inches. Looked a little more in person, and then he was just keeping up with him every step of the way. On the Magic side, Jace had a few really nice possessions. He looked much better in the second half than he did in the first half. I mean, he looked a little tentative in the first half, but, you know, the second half he had one possession where it was honestly Reno's only bad defensive possession of the game, but Richardson just went after him, attacked him, got all the way to the rim for a layup, and he was definitely, I mean, Tristan Da Silva, I think, is too good for Summer League, certainly, and that, you know, he was the other guy on the Magic side who really stood out. But, yeah, Jace looked quite solid in the second half, doing essentially a lot of what he's going to be asked to do for Orlando this year, presumably, right? You know, run off screens, put up triples, attack the basket occasionally, you know, when he gets an opportunity. And when he did have that opportunity, he made the most of it.
All right, well, I buried the lead. I mean, I'm just going to wax poetic here for the next hour and a half about Yohan Berenger, who I think had the most impressive performance in that Timberwolves Pelicans game. A lot of names in there, but Berenger was incredible. The fluidity, the discipline on defense, that's something I think we haven't seen a ton of recently. And that even in interviews, some Timberwolves players were like, yeah, in practice, he's just jumping at everything. And we told him, hey, just stay grounded, time it. And we saw him make that adjustment immediately against some really intriguing bigs in Derek Queen and East Missy. But the way that he moves and protected the rim was insane. Ended up with 6 blocks. And then seeing that patient rim running and at-rim finishing, we saw him knock down a little push shot too. I thought he was the best performance of day one by a landslide.
Not even close.
Yeah.
I thought he's been the best performer straight up here.
2 days, yeah.
I was a little, tentative to hop on the Berenger train early in the cycle because I thought his early film for his season overseas, he just didn't look like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And he just felt like he was out there. The highs were super high. You saw the potential, but he was just like figuring it out. By the end of the season and like into the playoffs, he figured it out.
Yeah.
And he was like, I was like, okay, this kid is not escaping the lottery. He did. but he shouldn't have it. I think that, and all the NBA personnel that were here that passed on him were probably like, oh no.
Because
this is a guy that, like, based on yesterday, we shouldn't overreact to Summer League too much, but guys get hot in Summer League, or they miss shots in Summer League, and you go, all right, let's not overreact. Mm-hmm. He was doing things that you go, no, that's nuance. That translates to the next levels. The size. And just his rapid rate of improvement is the thing that really stands out. But, like, his maturity to, like, say, not bite, to just stay grounded. He's Missy. I'm sorry, you know, for any Pelican staffers, et cetera, watching. We shouldn't have him experiment. He's not an experiment Summer League guy. He can't put the ball on the deck. Every time he put the ball on the deck, he ran into Berenger and just he killed his dribble and just Berenger sent it right down his throat. And, like, these are things that Missy will never do at the NBA level.
Yeah.
He shouldn't do it at the G League level. He shouldn't have, if you go back in time, he shouldn't do it in Baylor. So, like, every time he did it, Baron J just, thank you for this. I'm going to block this and just push you directly into the ground with it. Then the weak side stuff. I mean, coming over and sending shots into the stands. The hustle, the grit, like, cleaning the glass, running the rim. Like, even when he wasn't scoring, like, Rob Dillingham tried to find him on a possession that he threw out of bounds, but Baron J was the first guy down the floor in transition, beating everyone down there. I mean, the lob threat. The processing is still pretty far behind. But we're not going to see a lot of cool short roll moments out of him, I don't think. Not yet, but the fact that he's improved so rapidly in every other area of his game, I also don't think we're going to see him shoot, nor do I want to see that.
Nope.
I've seen enough bad shooting over the last couple of days that we don't need to add to that mess. But I'm just like, the Timberwolves got it. They look like they got a steal. He looks like, hey, maybe in a couple of years we look back and he's like a top 3 to 5 player from this draft. Just congrats to them. And conversely, I have to hate on Rocco Zakarski for a second. Third string center on the summer league team. His whole thing isn't being a shot blocker, and I watched him literally look at somebody go take a layup. He just looked. No physicality. I didn't get it. He never. I feel, you know, bad that he had gotten the hype he did coming in. Yeah. He should not have come over at this point. He's not anywhere ready. Get ready to learn Iowa.
And I want to hear you talk about though, Ben Cap. I want to hear you talk about some of the other Timberwolves guys because, like, listen, if I was a Timberwolves fan. It wasn't just Baron J in that game. It was Jalen Clark has probably been the most fun guy to watch defensively in the first 2 days of the Summer League. I know we saw that in the regular season playoffs, but his impact, Terrence Shannon Jr. was a lightning rod for the Timberwolves. Well, I know some of the shots didn't go in, but he's looking a lot more comfortable creating shots for himself and even operating in some of that pick and roll game that we didn't see a lot with the Timberwolves last year during the regular season in the playoffs. Did a lot of his work in transition, but going back to college, especially how good he got in Illinois in the pick and roll, I think there's a lot more there to work with moving forward. So, like, if I was a Timberwolves fan, I had those three guys coming off the bench for me, along with some of the other guys they already have in an established Western Conference Finals contender, I would be thrilled.
Yeah, and Jalen Clark's defense, we knew he was an incredible defender. The physicality, the fluidity, the explosiveness, the strength, plus the technique, the fundamentals, the anticipation. He's an insane defender, and it's all good. Unfortunately, going to come down to can he shoot? And, you know, he doesn't have to be a lights-out shooter, but can he knock down 35 to 40% from the corners? And if he can do that on 4 attempts a game, maybe I'm asking a little too much there. But the defense is more than NBA ready. Yeah. It's insane how he's picking up guys full court and just giving them help. TJ Shannon, though, standout. He was incredible. And I love how they kept putting the ball in his hands, giving him more of those creation responsibilities, ended up with 9 assists on the game. And his ability to get paint touches just whenever he wants is really, really special. We saw it at Illinois, and we saw them incorporating a bit more of that playmaking stuff into his game that we saw from him in college. And that Nikhil Alexander-Walker role is going to be a really important one for them to build. And it looks like Terrence Shannon is going to be the leading candidate to do that. And if he can keep doing some more of that playmaking stuff, it really diversifies his ability to incorporate his physicality, his speed into the game, and that find those corner shooters, try and just get some easy shots, try and get Mike Conley some easy shots, Dante DiVincenzo some easy shots. So obviously you always want to temper expectations with what type of on-ball role these guys are going to get after Summer League. But I thought the signs and the growth and the trajectory with him was really impressive and encouraging. And then Rob Dillingham is a lot of good, a lot of bad. The shot wasn't there. It was tough. Some of the playmaking reads, I liked a lot of the attention with it. Super inconsistent with the ball placement, the accuracy. Struggled with some turnovers. Continuing to struggle around the rim, which is concerning. I thought the defense was fine. It's never going to be great, but it was fine. On the other side of the ball, what did you see from Jeremiah Beers, Derek Queen? I thought there's a lot to like both ways and a lot to be potentially concerned about.
Yeah, so Derek Queen, if you're a Derek Queen fan, watch the second half. If you're a Derek Queen hater, watch the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed off his incredible passing touch all day. That was really the one thing that was consistent with him all night long. But you know, there were some moments where he kind of left the glass open in a way that's a bit concerning if you're, you know, one of those people who's not exactly the biggest Derek Queen leader. And, I mean, he did not look at the rim at all in the first half. I think he took literally one shot in the first half. And, you know, in the second half, again, he looked much better. You know, he had a couple of nice sort of footwork moments in post in that second half. But there were some concerns in the first half. And then on the fierce side, I mean, his handle was the most impressive handle we've seen in some league. Like, that's really all I need to say on that front. I mean, he missed a few shots. He had a few really ugly turnovers. But, I mean, just the separation he was getting.
Seven.
Yeah.
Two assists, seven turnovers.
Yeah, not the best. Not the best on that front. But, you know, the separation he was getting.
It's a process. We're working on it.
A few and a half.
But, no, I mean, he had some really impressive flashes, even despite some of the more difficult moments, let's just say.
I want to echo some of the ball handling, though, what Jeremiah Pierce is talking about. I mean, the way that he can – it's funny. We use the term, like, bag work. Everyone likes to talk about that on social media, like, how deep is your bag? And Jeremiah Pierce has a deep bag from a ball handling standpoint, but it's the fact that he only uses a few dribbles to get to where he wants to go. He doesn't over-dribble the air out of the ball. It doesn't take him a lot to figure out, you know, how do I maneuver, get in the lane, and create some of those scoring angles that I can. He does it efficiently, and again, his aggressiveness and his assertiveness to really go at a defender, bump off them, create his own shot, separate, that's some stuff that you may not always love some of the inefficiency you're going to see from him early on in his career, but you want a guard who's going to attack and going to be aggressive. I'd much rather have someone who's willing to do those things than someone who wants to exclusively camp out in the perimeter, and if he's not a reliable, confident jump shooter, to settle for some of those looks. I want somebody like Jeremiah Pierce, so I do think, you know, Pelicans fans should definitely be encouraged for what they saw from him.
All right, day two, we may need to rapid fire a little bit through here because arena's starting to fill up and get a little noisy here. Boston Celtics, Memphis Grizzlies, no Cedric Howard, no Devon Small. I thought Hugo Gonzalez looked really fun, chaotic in all the good ways. Kasper Jakachonis went off. Turns out, doesn't suck. Interesting. Funny. Ron Holland, welcome to Summer League. Right where he could thrive. I mean, there are a lot of really solid performances throughout the day. Corey, what were some of your favorite on day two?
Oh, you're going to give me the floor to talk about Liam McNeely here?
Yeah, I didn't want to step on your toes.
Oh, man. Liam looked awesome, man. Maybe I just need to be in the arena for all of his games because literally every time I've seen him like probably close to 10 times live now. He's been awesome in every single one.
All right.
So maybe that clouds my judgment on him as a prospect a little bit, but he didn't do anything, in my opinion, that he can't continue to do.
Yeah.
He played his role.
Yeah.
Yes, he knocked down shots, but he rebounded. He made really heady passing plays. Like, he's competitive in all the ways that you want somebody to be competitive. Like, he's not one of these unhinged competitors that's going to go get a million technicals. Like, he just competes. And to me, like, he is just going to be the perfect complement to wherever he ends up. And, like, if this was a guy who was 6'4", right, I'd be like, all right, like, now I'm a little nervous because if the shooting isn't there, he's not going to hang around the league. He's 6'8", shoots, and he's strong. He's sturdy. Like, so to me, the NBA game is going to suit him much more than the college game did, where the spacing didn't materialize the ways in which he wanted it, and he had to play point guard for them. And so I think those shooting percentages are going to go right back up, and I think that he is going to be one of the people that helps change the culture there. And to get him at 29, I think, was a real value play. Like, I think he's a good basketball player. He knows how to play. He has good feel. He's not going to change your franchise as a star player. But if you're looking for guys who are going to be able to thrive on the wing and contribute to winning basketball, I think Liam did it. And again, I don't think it's an overreaction. He might have 12 points in his next game. He might have 6 points. I don't know. But he finds ways, in my opinion, to make winning plays. And he just happened to, you know, be, in my opinion, the standout of that game.
Nathan, what about you?
I wasn't in the gym for this one, but I had to watch the tape back, the Reed Shepherd game. Becca, that was unbelievable to watch. He had 28 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks, 10 of 25 from the field, 6 of 15 from 3-point range. But his overall activity to me was incredibly impressive, looking like he didn't break a sweat out there. And yet he was the high-volume creator for the Rockets while also doing all the defensive dirty work that you'd want him to. Some of the best hands from a guard that I've seen in quite a while coming into the draft. We already knew that, but seeing it already, you know, in the G League, the few times he got out there last year, the few starts that he had, for the Rockets and now already doing it again in Summer League. Like, we kind of figured he would hit the 2-3 for Summer League list a little early, but just, again, his command, the shooting ability, his activity, being able to play on the ball, off the ball. He's someone I think the Houston Rockets should be very excited about, and they're going to need a really good, reliable backup behind Fred VanVleet next year, and I do think he's ready to make that leap. And listen, I'd be very excited about the Rockets here.
I did see a little bit of it, and I got to say, physically, I think he looks
really good.
Yeah. Like, he looks really stocky and solid, but he hasn't lost any of his athleticism, any of his speed. Like, yeah, he's not like a super above the rim guy, but he's quick, right? Like, yeah. And so for him to get strong and then not lose any of his speed, I think is really important. And then, you know, I saw him hit knock down a jumper early, and like, it's just every time it leaves his hands, I think it's going in. It's so pretty. It's so textbook. It's the way I wish more guys decided to shoot the ball instead of the stupid from your hip one motion shot. Like, I'm excited to watch Reed develop, for him to continue to play in Summer League and grow. I really, like, if he comes along, the Rockets are legitimate. I mean, they're going to be a legitimate title contender, I think, regardless. But, like, if he could provide a spark.
Yeah, 100%.
That depth that they're going to have at every single position is going to be outrageous.
Thanks, what about you, Dave?
Yeah, it was Kasper's for me. And I moved over from Chris's Celtics a little bit earlier than you guys did. And first couple minutes, Kasper's looked a little slow, a little tentative, and especially after his previous Summer League performance at the California Classic, I was a little bit concerned. Then he had a beautiful spin move against Mason Newell into a layup and hit a three, and after that, he was off the races. I mean, he had 14-2-2 in the first quarter. He finished with 24-4-4, a couple steals. I mean, he looked like the Kasper's Jonas that we expected, and especially the Kasper's that we saw earlier in the year at Illinois. I mean, he had some of the most beautiful passes you'll ever see in Summer League, in addition to his shot finally coming around. I mean, there were moments in the California Classics where, you know, other than the shot not going in, he at least was reading the offense well, you know, making good decisions. And all of that combined with the scoring in this one, I mean, he was the guy that stood out most to me on day two by quite a bit.
Just to run through some other notable performances here, feel free to jump in whenever. Confident, both struggled shooting, not worried about it, just kind of kept leaving the shot short, but the way he got to the paint, made some really high-level reads, not worried about Con at all. On the other side of the ball, though, with that Utah Jazz team, Kyle Filipowski had an awesome game. Cody Williams, I thought, looked so much better and so much bigger, like added significant, meaningful strength and muscle. And then Walter Clayton, Hooper.
Gets his spots. He gets his spots whenever he wants.
Definitely the Cody Williams thing. I mean, that to me was probably, if you're going to ask me who's improved the most coming into Summer League from who was a rookie last year, I mean, just seeing him again, like you said, man, got filling out, getting stronger, but having the willingness to go into guys and bump them around a little bit and then take some of that contact on the defensive end, hold his ground and get his hand on the ball, like, that's that you didn't see from him in his rookie year, and he was one of those guys coming into the draft. Like, some people were either really high on him or they didn't even think he was a first round talent. But my argument for him was always kind of he was a late growth spurt guy, hasn't necessarily been in a program that was going to help him really develop and take multiple steps forward physically. But if he got to the NBA, got into a developmental program where he found himself in one of those situations, how does that change his upside? And I think it can change it in a significant way. He's probably the one guy that I want to keep seeing more of as we go through Summer League. Can he continue to string together these performances and carry that up?
Get more of a deep cut, but also Iguodala looked like a different athlete than we had seen before. I mean, he threw down an absolutely monstrous dunk in the first quarter, which, you know, that was the one that's going to make the highlight reel, but just watching him rebound, he gets up like 4 or 5 more inches than he has before. I mean, he's clearly slimmed down a bit. Certainly now with Phoenix actually having real centers, he's not going to have to play a lot of five for them. And I mean, he looked like he was ready and raring to go to play more four to show what kind of athlete he could be. He was really impressive.
He looked way more flexible too in his movements. Like, I always thought there was a little bit of a stiffness in the way he moved.
He looked leaner.
I thought he moved more like wingy than big. Like, not to say I would say he should play a wing, but I thought he moved the fluidity more of a wing yesterday than any other time I've ever seen him. But if we're going to talk about Phoenix Suns, how about my guy Kobe Bryant?
You're just
shooting the cover off the ball, man. That dude's going to play in the league for 10 years. 6'7",
and he shoots like that.
He has the prettiest jump shot here by far.
Yeah.
Like, moonball arc.
Cameron Reed, a little bit of this or that. Which jump are you taking?
I'm taking Kobe's. Kobe's proved it over a longer period of time. But Reed, I mean, obviously Reed is an unbelievable shooter as well. But Kobe Bryant, like, that thing, when that goes up every single time, it almost looks like he's shooting it in slow motion. But I also thought that he used it to leverage the gravity by getting to the rim off cuts. And then he attacked the hoop a couple of times off the hard closeouts, too, which I thought were really good. Yeah, he had 4 turnovers, which is shocking because this is a guy who I think had like 100 over a 5-year college career. So to have 4 in one game, but it's summer league, things are sloppy, and you're playing with new guys, so it would, you know, I'm not going to read too much into that, but the shooting, man.
Yeah.
It's like, I get that he's a little older. I just, a guy like that, take him in the 25 to 30 range.
With you, man. He took 10 shots, with 7 to 10, but I want him to see a jack those shot attempts up a little more, 15-20. Take away from some of those Yuri Collins mid-range pull-ups.
A lot of Yuri Collins mid-range pull-ups.
He was lethal. He was unstoppable.
He was the bucket.
Summer League T.J. McConnell out there. Still on that Suns side. Ryan Dunn, I thought, looked a lot better. A lot more aggressive, a lot more confident. Von Malowicz, didn't love it, but it felt like they were just letting him experiment.
I did think, defensively.
Yeah, they're...
Guys are afraid to go into the paint against.
Well, Sarr tried to drive and bump him off, and Sarr instead went the other way, and Malowicz didn't move. I flipping to Sarr. Maybe summer league's just not his thing, but I was really, really concerned with what the level of effort and execution that Sarr was showing.
I think you were right to be concerned. I mean, again, like, you don't want to overreact to summer league too much. I don't think he looks better physically.
No.
And I know he's going to be long and lean. He's probably one of these guys who is going to look that way for quite a while. But he also did look stronger when he was embracing physicality, which is the issue. So even it didn't show up in his body or in the actual functional basketball ability. And, you know, I just – look, it was a weird draft last year. You take a swing on talent. He is the kind of modern big that we would like to see be on a roster. I do think that they do need a foundational center because I just don't think he can play it for a time. I don't know. He's a guy you're going to have to be patient with. The guy, he's not the head, even though he should be, the headliner on that Washington team at all.
So
Keyshawn George was unbelievable. Talk about a guy who did look stronger.
Yeah.
Did embrace physicality. He moved Malowicz when he challenged him in transition. He got into his body and pushed him back.
Yeah.
He got in the mid post. He did the little shoulder bump and then the little one-legged Dirk KD fadeaway.
Yeah. Best ball handler on that Wizards team by far yesterday. Yeah. Other than AJ Johnson in transition, which I didn't but in terms of after execution, Keyshawn, best ball handler.
Thing about Keyshawn, besides like shots winning, right? It helps. The thing that stood out to me the most out of that Wizards roster was that he played within the flow of the offense.
Yeah.
When to me, every other player on that roster was like, I'm going to go get a bucket. And I didn't like the ball movement. Guys were getting into the paint. The only reason they were kicking it out was because like 3 guys rotated over. But I thought Keyshawn George just looked comfortable and looked like he was playing a team game and looked like he can translate that to the regular season. Where a lot of the stuff I saw from the other guys, it was like, you're going to get a chance to do that in the regular season because that's what the Wizards roster is going to demand of them. But it's not going to be pretty. And, you know, it wasn't pretty last night, summer league. So imagine when we get to actual games with real deal, fully contracted NBA players. I'm not optimistic. But when they have Darren Peterson or Cam Boozer next year, potentially, you know, we're going to be singing a different tune, I think.
All right, to wrap up, Hanson Yang, some good, some bad.
Yang Hanson, however you want to.
Yeah, whatever floats your
boat. Yang Hanson. There we go. Yang Hanson.
Some intriguing post scoring. The passing was awesome. Handful of blocks, like 3 blocks, 1 steal. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Got spun like a top on defense. Nate, what did you think of Hanson?
I mean, I thought pretty much the same as I thought when I saw him in Sacramento Summer League last year. Like, guys who are 7'2", who literally just turned 20 don't move like that and aren't, you know, usually when they're that tall, they're also not, you know, built like a brick house. And I mean, Jokić Sen is built like an NBA 7-footer already. And, you know, the passing was what stood out the most. You know, that's really the superlative skill with him. And certainly it'll be fascinating to see what he looks like with, you know, the full Portland roster with guys cutting, guys moving all around him. But I mean, all of the offensive stuff was sort of as advertised. Some of the defensive struggles were definitely not unanticipated. I mean, his lateral mobility is not fantastic. I think he actually gets up and down the floor a little bit better than, you know, people might have thought. But, you know, that's really going to be the struggle with him. It's the lateral mobility defensively. But, I mean, the offensive stuff, you know, the playmaking, the post-scoring, that's all this.
I think he's just, like, one of the best stories we have in Summer League 2 this year. Like, he looks like he's having the time of his life. He's always smiling. Seems like his teammates really like him. The coaching staff trusts him. The front office really believes in him. Everyone we talk to, you know, they really believe in Jokić Sen. So shout out to him. Just having a great time. A lot of fans in the building to see him and cheer him on. So I'm just really happy he's getting this opportunity. It seems like the Portland Trail Blazers have a really interesting player on their hands.
I got to say, I watched some of the game with some Blazers team people. I've never seen them locked into a game like this. Like, it was like they believe in this dude. Like, they really, truly believe in him. And see, you know, watching it from, like, the floor level area to start the game, you know, seeing that first backdoor dime that he hit, that was sick. But the thing that stood out, because this is a guy, there's also a language barrier for him coming over, you know, so, like, communication in these scenarios is really hard. This dude's talking to his team.
Yes.
He is directing them. You know, basketball is a language in and of itself, you know, and just the way he's communicating with his eyes, just pointing, like little subtle head nods. He's got all of that. So I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, I do wish that we did get to see him and Donovan Clingan play together, because clearly the Blazers have invested a lot in that big man position. And these are not the kind of pairings that you would see traditionally with the two big lineups. When we think of two big lineups, we're looking at Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. We're looking at Chet and Isaiah Hartenstein. We're looking at guys who are like the unicorn type prospect and then more of a bruiser. That's kind of both of them, the bruiser five, you know? So can they play together? Donovan's not playing. He's playing in like the secret summer league runs that they got going on. So he's still getting rep, but I do want to see that chemistry together with them, because I know how Young is going to mesh with a guy like Shaedon Sharpe, who's a good off-ball mover and maybe can run ball screens with Scoot and Drew. I already know all of that. I'm interested going forward to see how that big man position shakes out, because I think there are going to be some growing pains as far as how that works if the plan is to play them together and not just get 48 good minutes and whoever wins the battle of starting center.
Yeah.
Wins the battle.
But that's the thing, though, right? It's like, even if they aren't on the floor together for extended stretches, that's the important thing, is now you're getting 48 minutes of 7-foot-plus, and we just see how size and physicality have influenced the league today. If that's what you're able to trot out there every single game, I think Portland's in a great spot. You don't have to go to any of those looks where, you know, you're 5 coming off the bench is an undersized 6'9", 6'10 guy. You have two legitimately big, strong, physical dudes who can bang down low with some of the best centers.
And they're 2 7-plus footers who give totally different looks.
Yeah.
On both ends of the floor, they can do different stuff with. I never expected them to run out, like, extended minutes of both those guys.
Right.
But, like, 5-minute stretches here and there could be fun. It'll be weird. It'll be fun. Who knows if it'll work, but it's going to be fun. All right, we got a fun day of basketball today. Hopefully Cooper Flagg versus Dylan Harper. Really excited to see how and hopefully if Derek Queen bounces back in game 2.
Let's ease up on Derek Queen, all right?
It was bad, but it also won't shock me if he drops 30.
It was mediocre, because he had some really high-level flashes.
Sure.
He had really high-level flashes. He had some really low-level flashes. But there's a lot of
time. I want to see how he bounces back. It won't shock me if he drops 30 and 20.
Just run back on defense is my recommendation.
All right. Hopefully this works. Hopefully the audio is workable. Shout out, everyone. We got a written piece up over at NoSoonsNBA.com, too. Check out socials. We got stuff going. all week. We'll have more to come next week as well. But he was Nick Agar-Johnson, he was Nathan Grubel, Corey Tolliva, Tyler Metcalf. Till next time, see ya.